Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Today is the 26th of January in 2022, and today we are on episode 409 talking about service connectors. On Teams with me, we have Kale, Suji, myself, Cynthia, and our very special guest, Xing Xi, who will be talking about Service Connector. And as usual, before we get into the actual topic, we have a couple different updates to share. Kale, do you want to go first?
Sure. I got three things to share here. The first one is there's a nice blog post up here from our Azure networking folks about DDoS protection. And what it's talking about is some of the attack trends for 2021, the Q3, Q4, specifically around DDoS type trends that were happening. And it gives a lot of kind of data around, you know, how many attacks were thwarted and all the different things that are going around there, how much bandwidth it took and all that kind of stuff that's there. It also like does talk a little bit about, you know, specifically at the protocol level, like how these things were happening. So there's some more detail on that. And then ultimately, you know, talking about the Azure DDoS protection service that we have in Team. So it's a nice service if you haven't taken a look at that for your app gateway firewalls and whatnot. This is a really good tool to help you and kind of bring home the reality of, you know, the bad people that are on the internet attacking things. The second thing is around right sizing, which is a little bit general, but it's something that I've heard a lot of partners and customers like talk to us about, you know, from time to time, because we're pretty in your face about when you're using the Azure portal about making sure you got the right sizes for stuff, or if you're wasting money on certain things that you shouldn't be. And this is specifically this article is right around the server capacity and some of the economics around that, looking at how you would kind of analyze that and how you right-size VMs, take care of like underutilized instances, and then using the Azure Advisor, the folks we've had on here before, and some general stuff around Azure reservations and the framework, the well-architected framework that we have. So good thing to take a look at. There's a checklist and some docs up there around cost optimization. Always good to save money. And then the last one I had was around Azure Open Source Days. I thought it was a funny headline. It says 7 reasons of why you should attend the Azure Open Source Day. You shouldn't need any reasons. You should just be going anyway. But anyway, it's really nice because it basically there's going to be this. I think it's on February 15th, 2022, from 9 to 10:30 Pacific time. So it's not a big like multi-day event or anything like that, but a short time to talk about open source, specifically around some key areas that we're investing in the open source. Obviously, you can think of things like Kubernetes, VS Code, GitHub, all the different things that come around there, but it's free, and feel free to register and join us on the open source day.
Thank you, Kale. Suji?
Yeah, thanks, Cynthia. I have a couple over here. One of them was related to our Azure Data Explorer, which is, I think, fast becoming our popular data analytics kind of data lake that we have in Azure. But we wanted to make it a little more accessible to other open source and other tools out there that do data visualization. And Kibana is one of those tools, which has also become very popular these days. Kibana typically works with something like Elasticsearch or the Elastic Stack. And they have created, Microsoft has created a bridge that can help Kibana look at the data in Azure Data Explorer and even do visualizations in Kibana. So this way they have one place where they can look at all of their data real estate. So that's, I thought that was a nice update from this past week. Another one is Azure Redis Cache. As you know, Azure Redis Cache requires a storage connection to be able to persist its cache if required, or maybe preload the cache with data And typically that storage connection, required you to configure like a connection string or things like that. And now they support managed identity, right? Which is, I think, all very slowly, almost all services are supporting managed identity. So this way you don't have to worry about configuring those credentials. It just takes the credentials that are set up by Azure when you spin up the service. So those are two of my updates, Cynthia. What about you?
Thank you. I have a couple to share as well. First is the public preview of Azure Static Web Apps Enterprise Grade Edge. What that means is that the team has combined the capability of Static Web App along with Front Door and CDN so that you have a much more seamless integration and experience in terms of how quickly your website page loads. Enhanced security. Also, there's protection against DDoS, like what Kale was talking about earlier. That's one. The other one that's really exciting is also in public preview, managed certificate support for API management. So now, before you would have to be responsible of taking like a free cert if you have a custom domain or if you purchase a cert. But now that is available directly from API management, it allows you to provision, manage, and automatically renew for you just from the platform. And last but not least, Ultra Disk support for AKS is GA now for workloads that requires high throughput or high IOPS.
That's pretty cool on the cert renewal. I know that seems like a small thing, but I remember years ago.
It is.
That was like it would always bite people. Like, the site's down. What happened? Oh my God, we forgot to renew the cert. And then there was a scramble to like get it back up again. So does that like just pull? I don't know if you know this, but does it just like use your Azure like payment rails to pay for that or?
No, it's just free. It's a free cert that it provisions for you.
Interesting. Cool.
But I'm meaning to look a little bit more into it. Haven't had a chance to yet. Cool. Well, then I'm going to turn it over to you, Shing. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you do at Microsoft?
Sure. First, thank you for having me here. I'm super happy to talk about what I'm doing here. So my name is Shing. I'm the PM from Azure Developer Experience team. I'm working on a service. The name is Service Connector. So Service Connector, the whole idea is to help our developers connect multiple services together. So usually, assume you are a developer coming to Azure, you have to, choose one of the compute services. Could be App Service, Spring Cloud, AKS, Container Apps, depending on what kinds of application and the workload you are using right now. And later on, for a real application, you have to, communicate to like a database, storage, real-time messaging service. So in the past, there were lots of manual steps, lots of Azure-specific concepts to learn. There is a huge learning curve to really understand how to connect multiple things together. But now with Service Connector, we are trying to provide a quite intuitive and seamless experience. Basically, if you are using Azure Portal, you can just use a simple wizard to answer some questions and get those two things connected. And also we offer CLI experience, and you can just run simple command to make the connection happen. So that's the whole idea of Service Connector.
So Shing, I'm curious, how does this relate or is similar to like what Logic Apps does, where there are a lot of connectors and you can connect to other Azure services or even like third-party services?
Right, yeah, that's a really great question. So so for large apps, usually you are doing like low code or no code applications. You just use the connector, you can get a topology of your application. You can easily interact with some of the public APIs, no matter from first party or third party. But for a Service Connector, I think we are mainly aimed for those developers who want to have full control of their application code. Usually you have some, more complicated logics handwriting by yourself in your application. And later on, you can use Service Connector to talk to storage, blob, and other Azure services. So I would say eventually these can be similar things, but that's definitely, you know, we have to learn first what the real things that the goal of developers doing today. If they want to have full control of their code, they should come to Service Connector to make the connection happen and later consume the data using, you know, using their own application code.
Yeah, Xing, so I'm trying to understand, is this some sort of like an abstraction layer for an app to talk to another app? I know we all hear about microservices these days and whatnot, and, you know, there's this concept of a service catalog where, you know, one microservice needs to know where the other microservices is. The Service Connector fall somewhere in that category or in that area?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So let me first talk about some of the details, how Service Connector works today, and later we can talk about the relationship between like Service Catalog. So, you know, on Azure, if you, let's assume I'm a developer, I deploy my code, whatever code, like a Python Django application to my app service. So I want to let my Django application talk to a database or a storage. In the past, I have to, you know, either turn on match identity or like grab the, you know, access key from the target service side and later construct them into a connection string or some endpoint information, put that into the environment or variable of my application. So that's the first thing you need to do. Second thing, you have to understand the network configuration between two services. So usually you have to configure the firewall settings, or you are running all the applications inside a VNet or a private link. You have to make sure you have the policy, the network policy properly set it up, and your application code running on the app service can actually reach out to those target services via the network layer. So that's actually involved lots of manual step, and sometimes developers themselves, they don't have permission to do that. And they will spend lots of time to figure out what's the right permission, what's the right you know, sequence to make that happen. But Service Connector, in our experience, you just basically answer two questions. First, what is your you know, target service instance you want to talk to? You just select in portal, we have experience like a select from drop-down list, just point to that your storage account, and we will know that you are you want to talk to that storage account. And the second question you are answering there is, what's the authentication method between those two things? By default, we recommend everyone to use match identity because that's the, you know, the best practice. But sometimes you probably use your own SDK or a third-party SDK that they don't support match identity. We do have an option that you to use the access key to, let's say, get the data from the blob store, from the database or blob storage. So by answering those two questions, and you can create a connection. Underline Service Connector will enable the permission for you to make the connection and also configure the network settings. So if we detect you are using the firewall in your target service, we just put the IP of your compute service into the allow list. And if you are using the VNet, we just want to make sure your VNet can be configured properly and you can, your application code can, you know, get the data from target service side. That is all about Service Connector. So I think the idea is to really make the experience quite simple. And to answer your question, what's the relationship between Service Catalog? I think that Service Catalog is super popular kind of concept today. And for microservice developers, they can leverage Service Catalog to browse lots of publics or private service from first party or third party or from their organizations to leverage that APIs in their code. So I guess for Service Connector, one of the things we are working together, we are envisioning at this moment, is like besides the full catalog of the things, you in the future with our, you know, once we support more and more services, we can have a very intuitive experience let developers to choose one specific service or API from the service catalog. Later on, they can directly leverage Service Connector to bridge those things together and make that connected to their microservice applications. So I guess that one is still working in progress, but that's definitely one of the goal for Service Connector. We just want to make sure we can meet where developers are, and we can support all different types of application framework, application patterns for all Azure developers.
And if you know, Kale's got a question, but I want to just ask a quick follow up. So all the changes that the Service Connector are going to make to your environment, your VNets, firewalls, etc., are they kind of audited, or does it tell you like, hey, these are the changes I'm going to make, right? Or I have to make in your system to make this work. Is it okay that I do that, right? Is there that step? Because sometimes, you know, maybe the system administrator like, oh no, you're not opening up that firewall, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's really an interesting scenario. So actually, in real world, the connection can be super complicated because especially for permission related things in a real development team or organization, usually for developers, they just have a minimum permission and they are admins control all of the things. So to address that issue, we're actually offering a dry run API for our developers, for our users, which means that if you go through our wizard to create a connection, in our last page, we do have a preview of what things will be modified or be changed. You can get a sense like what things will be applied later once you click the create button. And also in the dry run API, we do have a kind of a pre-check functionality to let you know if you have the enough permission, sufficient permission to make the corresponding change. Again, if you don't have those permissions, we will give you some guidance or links, help you to get those permissions from your admin or from your organization.
Yeah, that was going to be part of my question. Like, I assume there's like access, like RBAC and access control over the Service Connector feature, right? So admins could say, hey, there's these certain databases and these certain applications and key vaults and stuff that these developers are allowed to build connections to and basically grant them permission. That's what it sounds. So that's what exists, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. The other thing, a question I had when you were speaking here was about a couple things. One was, what about like, is this all in one Azure subscription? Is there like limits there? Like, what if I have another Azure subscription with like my databases in or something like that? Is there a way to bridge over to multiple subscriptions or different resource groups and things?
Yeah, I'm glad you raised this question. Actually, if you go in, you come to try the Service Connector, in the first question, what is your target service? The first drop down list is actually your subscription name. So which means that you can definitely connect to a different database in a different subscription.
That's awesome. And then as you mentioned on the when they go to apply these things, how do they I did look at Service Connectors before and I saw a lot of stuff around like environment variables. So maybe talk me through like a database, for instance. Like, typically, if I have an application that wants to talk to a database, as you mentioned, there's like a network layer, but then there's also like app level stuff like, well, which database am I actually going to talk to on this database server? So how does all that stuff get reflected if I say, yeah, let's go ahead and connect these two? Is that part of the wizard? Like it asks you like which database or even tables or something you're going to talk to? And then how does that get reflected back in the app? Is it environment variables or like something else for the developer?
Right. Yeah. So that's actually a common scenario, especially to a database connection. Usually, developers may have different applications that actually talking to different specific database in their database service. So in our wizard, the first question, as I mentioned, we are asking developers, which is your target service instance you are connecting to? In that question, we offer several drop-down lists, like first one, the subscription name, second one, your target service name. In database case, once you choose the, let's say, MySQL data, MySQL Flexo server, we will have a new drop-down list showing just, you know, under that, let you to choose from the different database. So that after you go through the wizard, make the connection, we will generate the connection stream for you. So in the connection stream, there is definitely a section, you know, talking about saying that that's the database you just selected in the wizard. So another thing you just remind me is like, especially for database developers, sometimes they store the connection stream, the pool connection stream or the access key in the environment variable. But sometimes we do recommend developers using like key vault to store those things. So we are actually working on a new feature which will be released very soon. We have a checkbox in the wizard. Let developers to, you know, directly put those access key or connection string in their key vault so that they can get the, you know, the secured by default.
That is really good to hear. Thank you for putting that request in. I was wondering, like, you know, how do you undo some of these connections? Let's say tomorrow you say, oh, you know, I don't really need that database, right? How do I kind of undo some of the service connections that were made before?
Right. Yeah, that's a really interesting scenario. I guess for now, it's hard from our perspective, it's super hard to undo an operation, right? It's not like a transaction contains many steps. Those configurations might be changed or might be reused by other applications or by someone else in the development team. So what we are offering today is like you can definitely delete a connection, and you can just remove the record of the environment variable or the secret from that. But the, as I mentioned, the connection involves lots of complicated configurations. We do provide a list of the things, let you know that those things we tried our best to get it back to you, to make the change, to delete the configuration, but we need your help to double check, to manually check if these are properly set it up, if you really want to clean up everything.
I guess they can always go back and look at that original list of changes that you make and see, like, okay, you know, what do we have to put back in place over there, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Along with that, it kind of goes along with what Sajid was saying, like from a policy perspective, if the enterprise has certain like standards, you know, for like how applications should talk to each other and things like that, it sounds like in this tool, as you mentioned, like the checkbox thing for the key vault thing, there's some options there. Obviously, it feels like the policies would still apply, right? So if they try to do something that's not allowed by the enterprise, it just won't happen. But is there like any integration there? Are you thinking about that from a policy perspective, like to help the developer say, oh, well, in your environment, it's really locked down, so you always have to use like key vault, or you always have to use these certain things, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a scenario we heard from customer, and we are talking to the Azure policy team to make that happen. So the thing is like we just respect the policy, you know, the development team or the organization already set up, and reflect those changes in our UI and guide developers to make the connection.
How should we think about these service connector resources? Like, are they tied to a region? Do we think of it as a pass resource? And then if it does tie to the region, then what happens if my compute and my databases are in different regions? What matters more, I guess? Is it the compute or is it the database?
Right. Yeah, that's a really interesting question. We spend a lot of time debating how we design the connection resource. It's like a conceptual, resource on Azure. It's quite different, like, comparing to app service or database. You know, it is when you talk about those resources, but the connection, what is a connection? So from technical perspective, so far, we build service connector connections as a extension resource provider, which means that resource need to be attached to a compute resource. So if you're thinking about a connection, usually it starts with a compute. You host your application code there, and your application code consume those conceptual connection, talking to different types of database, storage, real-time services. And speaking of the region, when you create a connection, your connection, conceptual connection resource will be actually locating in the same region as your compute resource. Which means you have a same like data resiliency, data latency in the same region, and if you try to move your compute service to another compute service to another region, your connection will be moved together. So that's the design we are doing. But one of the limitations in the preview is unfortunately we just support a very limited region at this moment. And we have a plan to expand into more regions so that in the future, no matter what compute resource you are using, what regions you are deploying to, you can get benefits of the service connector.
And the question Cynthia asked led me to believe to ask another question, which is, does it generate some sort of an ARM template or something at the end of it? Like, is there an artifact that I can say, oh, you know, if we have to start all over again, right? Just replay this file and all the connections will be remade, right? You know what I mean? Just something to like almost like a desired state file, you know, of sorts.
Yes, right. So given we are an extension resource provider, developers or DevOps, they can definitely, use ARM template or Bicep to describe their connections between their compute and target. So in the past, if you want to make the connection correct in the ARM template or Bicep, there are lots of sections you need to manually check. The network in a different section, environment variable under the compute RP section, and you have to change some policy for all the whole application. But for now, we do have our schema in Bicep or ARM. You just simply answer those two questions in ARM or Bicep flavor. You can create a new deployment, and you can get those connection seen up in attached to your compute service.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm a developer, and I don't know how I've never heard of this service before, the feature before. We have to get this out there, the word out there that this feature exists, because I think developers would benefit a lot from it. Thank you for explaining that to us today. Cynthia, back to you.
I have the question about disaster recovery. So you said these service connectors are kind of attached to the compute resources. So say if I had like availability zones enabled, does it translate for the service connectors as well, or do I have to do something different?
It is. So we do have availability zone support, which means, the connection will be if you deploy your app service or your compute service in an availability zone, our service connector, the conceptual connection resource you created will also be applied to the same availability zone. So basically, you get the benefits from the availability zone for both of the service side. And that also raised another interesting scenario usually happened in the connection. The connection, I would say, super fragile, which means lots of things can be changed during your daily development, or even you have a stable version production application running on the cloud. Someone will in the team perhaps accidentally change some of the configurations. Some of the target service like database somehow it's not available, or sometimes it perhaps after 6 months due to your company policy, the access key has been refreshed, expired, something like that. And in Service Connector, we do have a button to let you to, validate the connection or troubleshoot the connections. So basically, we will go through all the possible things that can lead to the issues, and we will show the corresponding, the guidance or troubleshooting steps for you to let you to fix the connection. Basically, we just want to make sure it's super easy for developers to create a connection and to maintain the connection and to use those connections in their production environment.
Yeah, it sounds like a good troubleshooting tool too, right? If I just want to know, like, hey, why can't I connect to the storage account?
Right. A little health probe.
Yeah, exactly. You can create a connection here and you can click the validate button, you will see all the details.
Awesome.
Any more questions, Sujit, for Shing before we let him go?
How should developers get started on this? Is it if you have an existing architecture or application in Azure, can you introduce it there, or does it have to be starting from scratch? Like, what's the best approach to get going on this?
Right. So for new apps or existing apps, you can always go to Azure portal and you will see a new Service Connector node in the left table of contents there. You just click that node, you will see our page. You can try our features there. Feel free to try and let us know. Also, for existing apps, you probably already manually set it up, set lots of connections ready for your application and been running for a while. Unfortunately, we do not have a path for you to convert those things into the conceptual connection we are maintaining today. But I would say stay tuned. Eventually, we will have something for that. And you can get all the benefits from the features we are building.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.